Divided Kingdom program tonight. I'm guest host Al Cubitt, filling in for Elizabeth and Lou, who asked me to fill in tonight, and I'm trying to do that. Before I do, we usually have a word of prayer on any program that I do, and I will pray first, and then we will go into the format. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now to guide us and direct us. Guide my words, O Lord. Bless the listeners, producer, and the network. As we speak these words tonight, we ask that you'd anoint those words and open their ears and eyes, spiritual ears and eyes, Lord, that they might understand what's going on in these last days. Thank you, Lord, for all your mercy and your grace and your beloved Son. We ask it in his name. Amen and amen. Okay, and one of them, I'll run through them. The subjects that they asked me to was, if the president would be assassinated, what would happen, maybe? The foreign cops, which are operating in the United States. A world economic crash, what do you think about that? They ask about the high-altitude electromagnetic pulse. They ask to talk about the continuity of government and FEMA, Federal Management Agency, Federal Emergency Management Agency, the Muslim influx in our country, and the National Recovery Organization. And I did a little research, and this is what I found. I did not find a National Recovery Organization. There is a National Reconnaissance Office, NRO, with the same initials. They are in Chantilly, Virginia. They belong to the Department of Defense, and they do the satellites and so forth, and do intelligence work. But I won't cover that because that's probably not what she asked about for sure. There was a National Recovery Administration under Franklin Delano Roosevelt during the 30s, which was NRA, it was. And they were working on recovering from the Depression. But I do know some things about some of the other things, and I will cover them in the order which I know. And I'd like to read a scripture to you here right now from 2 Peter 3:10, and here's how it reads. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting on to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Okay, that's the scripture verse, and that'll just be a verse for one of the subjects in here. But however, I have something very interesting I'd like to show you first. She didn't ask about this, but I'd like to show it to you. There's a book out there written by a general. His name is Hugh Shelton. He was the 14th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he served as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs about 2009, 2001, when he served as a Joint Chiefs chairman. However, he did go on he went on Bright Star 85 to Egypt. He was an officer back then in 85, and I was over there also. And while he was the Deputy Director of Operations for J3 in the Pentagon, he was one of the generals who were working shift work up there, DDO as they call it. He served as the J-33 also, and I was working in the Pentagon at the time he was in that position. But he wrote a book called Without Hesitation. And I want to tell you what he said about the time he walked over to the Pentagon when the supposed aircraft hit the building. Okay? I quote from page 434 of his book. Colonel Lew and I stepped out at the river entrance, and Ron drove Carolyn, that's his wife, home. I went directly to my office, which is on the opposite side of the Pentagon from where the plane hit. Still, the smoke was thick, and the smell of cordite was overwhelming. It permeated every sense like the battle zone it had become. Ladies and gentlemen, Boeing 757s are fueled with JP5 jet fuel. This is the second report of cordite, which is a high explosive. It's used in a number of applications. One of them is artillery shells. He says in his book, the smell of cordite. Now, I don't understand why he left that in there, but he did. He put that in there. That proves us right then and there, the Pentagon did not go down by an airplane hitting the building. It went down by cordite. And the first NCO out of that building said, I smelled cordite. So right there we have a smoking gun. This is a four-star general who said those words. And it disproves everything they said about the Pentagon starting right there in all of 911. There's many other facts I could cover about that. But I'm going to go into now some of the subjects that Elizabeth and Lou have asked me to cover. And I'm probably the best expert on this in the United States today. I've been researching it since 1994. And it's about the foreign police in the country. I have a list I keep, and I'll read it from you. It says, subject, excerpt containing reported foreign police identification across the United States. I've added to it since way back in, I started doing it in 84, and I redid the log starting in August. I redid it completely starting in August of 2010. Here's the current list of foreign or strange police cars, badges, and logos, etc., which have been reported, seen, or photographed within the United States since 1988. These foreign forces or foreign police are those mentioned by Mr. Obama in his 2008 campaign, where he said, we need a civilian security force as big as the military, unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find an organization and prove it's here, you must discover the funding. Discover the funding or where their communications hub is. And here are the funding programs for these foreign cops. Okay. Bill Clinton in 1994 stated on the 14th of December that the president had authorized the import of 700,000 Makarov pistols. They're 9mm pistols. The cartridge case is 1mm shorter than our 9mm, 18mm long. The 18mm cartridge, the Russian cartridge, can be fired in the American Luger 9mm cartridge, but the Luger cartridge cannot be fired in the Soviet pistol. Okay? Those of you who know anything about weapons, if you find one of these Makarov pistols, let's say you have some military guy, and you try to shoot your 9mm ammunition in it, designed for the military Beretta, it'll hang up. Whereas if the Russians have your gun, if they have the American pistol, the Beretta, standard issue sidearm, they can shoot their ammunition in it, and it'll work. But our ammunition will not work in their pistol. Okay. A week later, I heard that a plane had landed at Redstone Arsenal, Huntsville, Alabama, and delivered secret cargo. At the Armory, there is the second intelligence indicator. There are 700,000 Makarov pistols in this country. 4 years later, when I was speaking at Denver, Colorado, with the Prophecy Club, a policeman walked up to me and said, "Yeah, we got a problem out here. So we have cops with black uniforms. They have International Crimes Enforcement Police on their badge. They have honorary pro-counsel diplomatic plates. If you look up what a pro-counsel is, he's a bad fella. He's sort of like Pontius Pilate was in Israel back in 30 AD. Said they have SLOV stickers, Slovenia stickers on their car. They're black SUVs with dark windows. And he says, "I'm into handguns." And he said, "These fellas are packing Makarov pistols." Whoops, there it was, Laura, folks. It took 4 years from the time they imported those pistols to Redstone Arsenal to pass them out. My first thoughts when I heard it, the sidearms for the UN peacekeepers or the foreign cops who are going to police our country. Mr. Obama has just said in 2008, okay, it was, 14 years later, we need a civilian security force as big as the military. And those listening to him clapped and cheered when he said it. So, we know that in Denver, Colorado, there was a letter put out by the National Guard Bureau in April of 1994, which stated that there would be Slovenian troops in Colorado, Ukrainian troops in California, Romanian troops in Alabama, and another several other countries where we'd have Partnership for Peace troops here, PFP troops, and our guys would be overseas and their guys would be here. Well, SLOV is Slovenia, and they're in Colorado, and they've got Makarov pistols. So here's the story on the foreign cops. As noted, since 1994, there have been six known police hiring programs. Okay, here they are. The first one was Cops on the Street. 1994, Senator Biden put together a package in the Congress, and it was passed. Cops on the Street. Turns out they were having funding money for Cops on the Street. This is the Clinton administration, and the Clinton administration spent the money the way they felt, and they are paying. This is the first funding program for the foreign cops. Okay, number two is Project Harmony. I covered it on my video 1998, Straight from the Joint Chiefs and Black Operations and Prophecy. These guys are imported to learn how to police in the United States. And there's a picture of one in North Carolina in a Russian uniform directing traffic. It's a second funding program. The third funding program was community police. Community police were cops that were being brought in from the country. And when our police departments couldn't man their police departments, you could go and request community police. In fact, this here in Charlottesville, one of the police chiefs was complaining. He said, "Well, if you don't give me some money, I'll get some community police." I said, "Uh-oh, he knows about the foreign cop program where he can get foreign cops." In fact, Wausau, Wisconsin, the Wausau, I'll get to it in just a moment, Wausau, Wisconsin community police. They were seen in Wausau, Wisconsin. Third program, a surprise David Gregory on NBC during Meet the Press. He asked Obama's chairman of the National Economic Council, he said, he asked him, there was money in the mortgage bailout bill for police. Gregory asked Summers about it. Why is the cop money in the mortgage rescue bill? Summers answered,
You got to take care of the cops. Oh, but they're not our cops. They are foreign funding foreign cops. See, the money is appropriated by Congress with every good intention. But the executive branch spends it. And they're taking care of the cops. Yeah, but not our cops. Virginia doesn't have any money to, for their... in 2017, they couldn't start the academy till the middle of the year because there wasn't any money. 6 whole months, no academy. Same way in Missouri, they had no money till July of this year to fund their police department, state police. So here we have the fourth program, which Mr. Summers knew about. And you can easily see the Democrats have helped drive some more nails into our coffin by passing this mortgage bill. Not that GOP does much better. And that mortgage bill kept this big insurance company in power. And that big insurance company, the one that they would not try to remember what it is right now and off the top of my head, that insurance company insured the Congressional Pension Trust Fund, insured the Congressional Pension Fund. They had a trust fund, and they insured that trust fund. Okay? That's that big three-letter insurance company that they wouldn't put on. They bailed them out. I can guarantee your pension fund doesn't have any insurance behind it, okay? So, in 2010, Attorney General Jack Conway, who was running for Senate in Kentucky, stated that one-third of the later passed Obama stimulus bill was for police and firefighters. That was $900 billion. $300 billion was for cops. I'm sorry, $700 billion for police hires. Now, folks, they have now appropriated enough foreign cop money to execute UN Agenda 21. And any police actions they use them for across the United States. There was one last one, the Obama Jobs Bill. The number six program, the Obama Jobs Bill, has been found to have billions more for police and firefighters. So we've got probably about $1 trillion in a special trust fund for foreign police. That's the funding programs for them. Now let me start off and give you the rundown of these fellas, and I will elucidate each one I come to. That I know about or I've seen. First of all, in 1994, I was in Pennsylvania, York, Pennsylvania, and I saw in January, a regional police car parked outside of the restaurant. I took a picture of it. 1998, I put it on a video, two videos, and I've put it on several other videos since then. It was called Regional Police. And shortly thereafter, when I was on a, I went to a sportsman show, and there was a fellow there who saw my picture. He said, "Where'd you get that picture?" I said, "York." He said, "That's a bad cop." I said, "What?" "Yeah, he's nasty." "Oh." I said, "I got a York, Pennsylvania." He said, "I live there, and they're bad cops." When I was on a bus going to Texas to speak, the lady saw the picture and said, "Oh, we've got those cops in York, Pennsylvania." I said, "Yeah, that's where I took it." She said, "They're nasty cops. They push people around. We don't like them." Ladies and gentlemen, there have been since that time, this is kept track of, in the states of Virginia, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Texas, New Mexico, West Virginia, California, Mississippi, Missouri, and Oregon, the foreign cops have been reported and photographed or seen as regional police. the cop. The police car I saw was black with gold. They've been spotted here in Virginia. A state trooper saw one. They are white with blue stripes. One was seen in Bristol, Virginia, crossing into Tennessee, way back in 95. But now we've also found there's a whole lot of other police here. And these are the states that I've had reports of, or photographs, or whatever. Arizona, Georgia, Mississippi, California, Ohio, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Kansas, Indiana, Maryland, Wisconsin, Colorado, Oregon, Virginia, Florida, Illinois, Texas, and West Virginia. They've been wearing badges or driving vehicles or have tags of treat either. Red Dog Strike Force. We'll stop there and talk about that one. In 1988, under Ronald Reagan, when George Bush was running the shadow government, which Ollie North referred to as the parallel government, I referred to them as the basement cabinet for years because I didn't know what they were called. We found out after 9-1-1, Dick Cheney took the shadow government into a bunker. And Tom Daschle said, hey, we was asked about shadow government. He said, I've never heard of a shadow government. Well, now we know it, folks, today as deep state. Deep state. We'll talk about that. Red Dog Strike Force was the first time we saw foreign cops. In Atlanta, the seven women went out to an abortion clinic to demonstrate. And you don't demonstrate. You go home and your Christians need to have a prayer chain. Have a group of people praying in a 24-hour chain. You need to have prayer meetings. You need to fast and pray. You don't go out and demonstrate at abortion clinics. Well, there were six women with her, and all seven of those women, the Red Dog Strike Force showed up with red berets and black masks. All 14 shoulders of those 17 women were jerked out of place on purpose. And long story short, she told me, she says, Al, we were jailed for a while. And she said, those guys spoke a foreign language when they were by themselves. They talked to us in English, but they spoke a foreign language when they were by themselves. It's the first report of foreign cops in the country. MOXCBA, Moscow police, was seen in Oklahoma City. Police car with Moscow police in Russian on the side. Kansas State Police, I was speaking in Kansas City. A contractor walked up to me and said, I was driving my backhoe and I bumped into a concrete building where I was working a lot. Within 5 minutes or 6 minutes, he said there were two, three police cars there. It was Kansas State Police on the back in black uniforms. Well, back in 98, there were no such thing as Kansas State Police. Kansas State Troopers, but not State Police. They showed up when the alarm went off. I was speaking in California at Modesto, or Fresno, I don't know which town it was, but the MC took me to a place where there was some police called the Northwest Area Police. And there was their sign, there was their cars, but nobody knows who the Northwest Area Police are. In Catoosa County, Georgia, there were the Tennessee Military Police. They have a post there, a base, Tennessee Military Police. Those are things, Tennessee Military Police, and they were questioned about it. I put it on one of the videos from his prophecy club, and about a month later, a buddy went out there, and they were gone. They were found out, and they moved away. Okay? I told you about the International Crimes Enforcement Police. They're in Denver, Colorado. There have been police reported as international police. I got a call on that. There's also Illinois police. Well, they don't have anything known as the Illinois police. Multinational Force Observer UN. This is in Highland, Indiana, I believe. and they saw this guy parked outside of a church where they were having a meeting, and he was inside, evidently, casing the place. Honorary Proconsul, of course, was in Denver. On the beltway around Washington, there were some German police, Polizei, on the back of their uniforms. And the Wausau Community Police were seen in Wausau, Wisconsin. No one knows who they are. There have been federal police reported. Federal police. There have been American police. U.S. police been seen. Enforcement officer, parole officer. Parole officer was seen here in Orange, Virginia, in a black uniform with parole officer on the back of their uniform. They were armed. Secretary of State Police was called in to me by a reserve policeman in Illinois. And I drove from Chicago to St. Louis. And sure enough, went zipping by me on the interstate was a Secretary of State Police. This policeman said, these guys are out here, but we don't know who they are. Another sighting was National Police Force, Border Patrol. National Police Force, next Border Patrol. Now, Border Patrol is called the CBP. That's the CBP is the official logos on the vehicles for Border Patrol, but they're not referred to. Their vehicles don't say Border Patrol. It's CBP, Border Patrol. Okay, Customs and Border Patrol, I think it's called. And yet, some time back, there was some Border Patrol cops up here in a had their horses, but they were not CBP. There's also been UN Special Police. Oh, by the way, when Elian Gonzalez was hauled off, he was a guy from Cuba, a young boy from Cuba, under the Clinton administration. The first thing we heard Clinton say, Mr. Clinton, are you going to make the boy go back to Cuba? And Mr. Clinton said, not if I have anything to say about it, he's not going back. Mr. Clinton had everything to say about it. But the boy was snatched sometime later by guys wearing Border Patrol on the back. There's no Border Patrol in Miami, okay? It's a Coast Guard. These guys had foreign weapons. They had Russian helmets. They had Russian flag jackets on. And they looked to be East Asian individuals. I took pictures of them, and they were not Americans. I've been in 34 countries, and I know what Americans, what foreigners look like. Especially those who have Mongol and or Indo-European features. They didn't send Americans to take Elian Gonzalez back. They sent foreign cops that are here. Also had UN Special Police. We also had in Texas. A friend of mine named Mike was at Starbucks and he saw three big guys wearing black uniforms and said, State Police. There are no state police in Texas. There are Texas Rangers and the Department of Highway Safety, which are troopers. He asked him, what are you guys doing here wearing them guns with the state police on the back? And they looked at him and said nothing. He said, I say one more time, what are you doing here with those guns on and state police on your back? They got up in the white Chrysler vans and drove off. And as usual, when they run the police, the tags on them by the sheriff. Sheriff runs the tags. They come up not issued. Sometime thereafter, he saw four big women, big Amazons. He said they were huge. Same place. And they were had state police on the back. And when he confronted them, they got up and went out and got in their Chrysler white vans and drove off. Not Dodge, but Chrysler. Who paid for it? Here's a list of subsequent sightings that I have had since this log started back in 94. 1 February 08, West Virginia, UN. On the corridor, and had UN peacekeeping forces on the rear plate. This was near Charlestown, West Virginia. On the 14th of February of 08, North American Union police were seen in Lynwood, California. On March 08, International Safety Police, an officer with this logo speaking with an accent in plain black BDU's uniform and a black SUV pulled over a friend of mine near Walnut Hills. And he said, "Let me see your ID card." He said, "I'm not showing you an ID card. You're not a real cop." But I'll call for backup. So he calls for backup, and an American cop shows up. And he says, "I'm still not showing you my ID card because you're not a real cop." And this fellow, a friend of mine, just got in his car and drove off. That was the end of that. 15 November 09, Eagle Police were seen in Stanislaus, Virginia, which is about 10 miles from here. 17 December, in December, at the Union Station, Washington, there was a fellow carrying a submachine gun, and it had special agent on the back of his uniform. Okay. January 8th of 2010, Homeland Security Police at Minneapolis, Minnesota, they were seen. By February 2010, Charlestown, West Virginia, regional government license plate with regional police on the side of the vehicle. March 2010, Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, police mobilization unit, but nobody knows what police they belong to. 3rd of August 2010, near Sperryville, Virginia, FBI-police. I checked around, and most of the FBI cars don't have logos on them. Some of their vans do. 9 August 2010, Dallas County Police. The fellow called in and said, "Al, there's Dallas County Sheriff and Dallas Police, but there's no such thing as the Dallas County Police." 3 November 2010, in Texas, a car with a red and blue police light bar had Federal Protection Services on the side. And blue light. 18 November, at Probable, and I saw this one, LaVale, Maryland. It was a red police on a black car with a lightning stripe. It passed me about 80 miles an hour, and I couldn't keep up with it. It went by me, and nobody claims this cop either. Madison, Virginia, there was a cop had a guy pulled over. It's my hometown, and my friend saw it. Had police in gold letters on the side of a black SUV. 3/31, 2011, in Charlottesville, Virginia, United States Police. The car was seen. In Siegelman, Arizona, 4/22, 2011, Amtrak K-9 Police. It's AMTRAC. K-9 Police. Now, Amtrak is spelled A-M-T-R-A-K, but these were A-M-T-R-A-C, Amtrak K-9 Police. May 15, 2011, near Black River Falls, Wisconsin, American Federal Police Services, K-9. And 6/23, 2011, a Virginia State Trooper reports stopping a speeding foreign cop driving a black SUV in rural Virginia. In fact, I talked to this policeman, and he says, "Yeah, I stopped him. I stopped this guy. He was doing 75 in a 55-mile zone. He was nasty. They're arrogant. But I stopped him anyhow." One of the state deputies and one of the deputies here in this county tried to stop one of them. The initials of this officer was Bravo Lima. I tried to stop him, but he turned his blue light on and kept on going. 9/3/2011, Texas statewide patrol. Somebody saw a cop and called me on the phone and said, "Oh, there's somebody called statewide patrol out here." Again, there are no such police authorized in Texas with that name. And 2/27/2012, I saw this one, State Patrol in Finsel, Maryland, going on the I-68, State Patrol. Now, Maryland State Troopers don't have that. It's not State Patrol in the back of their cars. I lived in Maryland 50 years. This is on I-68 near Cumberland. May 2012, Fayetteville, North Carolina, a citizen was stopped by a foreign cop. He was scared to even. He called my friend, and the friend called me. The guy was so scared he couldn't even think of nothing else. But the guy was a foreigner, and he broke in English almost. I saw this one, 2 September 13 in Rutgersville, Virginia, on U.S. 29 and Moore Road. A black SUV with black police over a Golden Globe logo. We only have in the Greene County Sheriff and the Virginia State Police. December 1st, 13, Charleston, West Virginia, on U.S. 340. There were two white regional police cars driving in tandem, four cops aboard. Light blue horizontal stripes, letters in dark blue. Tags read, World Police. 12/22/13 in Charlottesville, Virginia, DOD Police, Department of Defense Police. Government tags, and had Defending the Nation logo. A deputy reported to me 23rd of April of 15. He was out west and he saw this National PD, National Police Department, on the side of a car. 4th of April 2016, there was a white SUV with police, only police in blue letters, was seen on State Route 230, Wolfetown, Virginia. This one I saw. 16 April 16, Charlottesville, Federal Protective Services Police near Boulders Road. And then at the University of Virginia in 2015, they hired G4S cops to police the university. G4S is an international security firm who hires policemen, and you can pay for them to come police your town if you got the money or your university. 1/17/2017, Gainesville, Virginia. Two all-white Border Patrol SUVs. No CBP on the side. Customs and Border Patrol. Our guys are referred to as Customs and Border Patrol, but not as Border Patrol. These guys had two horse vans and had horses in them. And the border is nowhere near Gainesville, Virginia. About 4 days ago, I got to see a car going by near here, and it said police on the side with nothing else. Blue stripe, white vehicle, it was a van with police. And my buddy called me and said, "I saw one in Shelby, Virginia, 4 miles away, had white van with police on the side." I called and reported to the sheriff. I said, "There's guys operating in our county with police on the side. They're not us. They're not the state police. They're not the county sheriff." As far as the two horse trailers, Gainesville, with the Border Patrol, the border is 403 miles from Gainesville, Virginia. The closest border in the United States is 403 miles away. Okay. Across the U.S., they're carrying Homeland Security or Department of State-issued federal ID cards. This was reported to me by this Denver policeman I told you about in 1998. These secretly funded programs are soon to be somebody's civilian security force of the USA. In other words, the secret police not subject to U.S. constabulary jurisdiction. And this also includes the Partnership for Peace Troops also. Now you know why there's continual gun confiscation movement drumming and brewing all the time. Now this is what happened in October of 2007. Subject to his Caroline Goat Bomb murdered, Holocaust II has surely begun in the United States. Duty compels me to write this. According to my written records, Mrs. Goat Bomb was 45 years old, married, mother of three, was arrested Friday on the 20th of September at Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix, Arizona. An email from South Africa advised me she was a Jewish and she was from South Africa. Video clips show she was arrested by what appeared to be U.S. personnel. But at the same time, she was screaming, "I'm not a terrorist." Okay. Arriving somewhat late, she had vigorously complained about being taken off of a flight. And I have no record of no proof of this, but she was probably going to miss her connection flight to South Africa. So she was upset. Press said she was booked on a later flight. According to the press, officers handcuffed her, and quote, that's the quote, and took her to the holding room where she kept screaming, as authorities said. They rechecked on her when she became quiet and found her unresponsive, said Police Sergeant Andy Hill. Folks, unresponsive means she was dead. Later they were piling on in the press reports. This is a New World Order tactic to demonize a person. Well, she was probably a drug addict. No, not. Let's see what really happened. We have again confirmed Department of Homeland Security detention cells. A friend of mine was put in a detention cell in Atlanta, Georgia temporarily. And then they let her out. That's a long story. I'm not going into it, but they had a big screen there. It was a polarized screen. You couldn't see it from the side. And we didn't know you were Jewish. Well, you didn't ask me. We didn't know you was a minister. You didn't ask me. Finally, one of the Spanish guys who was Hispanic said, "Look, she hadn't done anything. Let's let her go." She told me that a soldier in gray uniform took her and let her go out into the concourse. I don't know. We don't have any soldiers in the United States who wear gray uniforms, okay? So this is the second time we know that they have detention cells in airports. I know that because an FBI agent intercepted communications back in 2000. I told a friend of mine that there's a list out there and they're going to put foreign cops in the airports, international airports, sooner or later, and of course they'll be snagging Jews. But here we have a report of another detention cell in a U.S. airport. I was in 1998 in Phoenix speaking at a Posse Club, and when I filmed the video straight from the Joint Chief in Black Ops and Prophecy, and a Phoenix policeman, I was in Phoenix, and a Phoenix policeman walked up to me and said, "Al, we have 12 Russians on the police force here, and that 12 Russians too many, but we can't do anything about it." Folks, these are the foreign cops that warned Colonel Wayne Huggins, the Virginia State Police Superintendent, in April of 94, who under Bill and Hillary Clinton's shadow government reign would be sent here as our troops were being deployed overseas. Furthermore, in 2001, I was advised by an obviously fearful Jewish, I talked about this Messianic lady, the FBI had found a communique which they were going to put foreign cops in the airports. Snag Jews when the Muslims riot. I'm reading it. This is a quote. That's a quote. Okay? They'd be stationed in U.S. airports for the express purpose of apprehending fleeing Jews. That is when the Muslims riot and the Jews try to leave the U.S. Now, this is back in 2001 when I was learned this, okay? He advised that back operations foreigners operating in U.S. must use commercial communication systems and circuits. Back then, they're subject to NSA intercepts. And some of our good guys have been intercepting cables. They don't know where they come from. Right now, folks, the TSA has x-ray machines that will catch anybody fleeing anywhere with anything. You won't be able to get, you can't even hide stuff in body cavities now. They can spot it, all right? We now have circumstantial evidence of a plan to put foreign cops here. And we have basically confirmed somebody is in the airports. Here's another piece of evidence, which came in October the 10th. Now, a couple came to my ministry for a month this summer. They also reported that men in black with no insignia on uniforms and foreign accents were at work at the Phoenix airport. A strange encounter for them as well, unquote. Folks, it's impossible to choke yourself with handcuffs, which Carolyn Goatbaum supposedly choked herself. They took her handcuffs behind her, had them behind her back. They pulled them up over her head and put them under her chin and choked her to death with them. Okay? Yesterday in a restaurant, the waiter advised me he'd seen a news report that she was dead within 10 minutes of her lockup. I suspect the American cops at the airport now know why she kept screaming. Regardless, it was left up to Sergeant Andy Hill to explain the death of Mrs. Goatbaum. Well, Sergeant Hill, you did a real poor job. What happened was as follows. She was locked up by the Russian, whatever brand of international police airport at the airport, terrorist police, with their DHS-issued ID cards. They came to her cell, and it's a Navy SEAL emailed me. They had to have pulled her shoulders out of joint, and her murder affected in that manner, her handcuffs choking her. As I mentioned, in 1988, there were black mask shock troops at the Red Dog Strike Force or in Anna. In Atlanta, they did the same shoulders out of joint trick on the seven women who were demonstrating. Or the Phoenix Airport cop probably knows how she died, but they, out of fear, shall say nothing. Unfortunately, I predicted this would happen here since 1994. You Jewish folks need to make Aliyah, as the Holocaust has already started. Ed Parker of Cornville, Arizona, writes to a Phoenix newspaper, and I'm going to read it to you. This is what he wrote. Carolyn Goatbaum is dead. For days on end now, we have watched the media and various spokespeople and experts assert that she appeared to have strangled herself and the police did not use excessive force and that she was distraught and probably suicidal. And, of course, she was on her way to rehab. Every effort was made to portray her as a raving maniac who probably deserved to die. At the same time, we have been reassured on all fronts that the people who took her into custody did nothing wrong. But Carolyn Goatbaum is dead. There are a few basic facts which have been summarily ignored by every talking bubblehead and apologist for the police. Number one, when a person is taken into custody, the responsibility of the safety of that person in custody is immediately transferred to the agency during the arresting. This is why a cop will put his hand on the head of a suspect that has been arrested, as he or she is put into a squad car. This is why all sharp objects and other implements which the detainee could use to hurt himself or others are removed from the detainee's possession prior to being placed in a holding car cell. This is why police routinely radio the time and mileage on their police cars when transferring subjects from a crime scene to a jail cell or a courtroom or other official facility, both at the beginning and the end of the ride. Fact number two, every square foot of every major airport is under video surveillance. The ITT and telecommunications surveillance industry, of which I'm a veteran, there's an old saying in an airport, everyone is a movie star, unquote. This is especially true of security areas, in any holding cell and in any airport is certainly a security area. There's a video of Carolyn Goatbaum in her holding cell. There has to be. There absolutely must be a video. Fact number three, the opinions of various experts as to whether or not police use excessive force are irrelevant. Carolyn Goatbaum is dead. She died in custody. Somebody is responsible. And all that glib and reassuring claptrap spewing forth from the media does nothing to negate the fact that Carolyn Goatbaum is dead. Now, I'm reading from a letter that Ed Parker wrote to the an Arizona paper. Here it continues. If the police and personnel of Sky Harbor Airport wish to be exonerated and responsible for her death, there's only one way to do it. Show us the video of Carol Ann Guttbaum strangling herself in her holding cell, and then tell us how she was able to accomplish it under their supervision and state-of-the-art surveillance. Until that happens, now listen to this, folks, until that happens, the public must understand that flying, or trying to, just got a whole heck of a lot more dangerous than it ever was, and not because of some nebulous threat of foreign terrorism. That's the story on the foreign police. Now, continuity of government. In 1984 or 85, I can't remember when, I was sent over to FEMA to see some things that they had over there. And I have a top secret covert clearance. And I walked over and I went in and they logged me in and started following me around. And I said, "What are you doing following me around?" I said, I got covert clearance. I'm higher clear than you guys. We got them too. Now, I knew one of the guys who worked there, personal friend. So what are you guys doing over here that you got to have a code word clearance? You guys are flooding mud. You know, FEMA, you're flooding mud. You are hiding something from the American people if you got those higher clearances. Well, I called a friend of mine named Paul Lee. Now, Paul's going on. He had colon cancer. What's going on over there? What's going on at that flood and mud organization? They're supposed to take care of stuff like Katrina and Hurricane Sandy and Katrina and tornadoes and stuff. Well, they got something called a continuity government plan over there. And the continuity government plan is to divide our country up into 10 sections. And contrary to the Constitution, when chaos comes, they're going to staff it. Well, this is the thing. My friend was over there under the auspices of NSEP, National Security Emergency Preparedness. They're setting up this whole big system. But what they don't know is it's not going to be manned by them, Americans, when this goes down. It's going to be manned by foreigners. And it's all over the place. And one of the places near here is called Peter's Mountain. And Peter's Mountain's been there for a long time. It's too big a story to go into right now. I've only got 9 minutes. But it's a plan to take over, to manage the United States, contrary to the Constitution, contrary to the 50 state governors, an emergency, okay? High altitude electromagnetic pulse. Now, you folks out there, you get it mixed up with EMP. You get HEMP mixed up with EMP. EMP is when the nuclear burst goes off right on the ground, and the electrons coming out of that thing put out every transistor, every diode or semiconductor. It's a spike of energy on it, electrons, and it kills your device. But HEMP, hemp, is high altitude electromagnetic pulse. This is when the burst goes off at 200 miles up. It takes a Russian sub 8 minutes to do that. Launch a nuclear weapon and it goes up. It bursts at 200 miles up. And this is when the elements melt with a fervent heat. When uranium changes its composition, it changes its atomic structure, and it sends out millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of electrons at the speed of light, near the speed of light. Anybody who can see that burst in the sky, everything gets real quiet. Very quiet. A friend of mine named Steve Mayo had a vision of it. A nuclear device going off called a NUDET. Nuclear detonation bursting at 200 miles. Anyone who can see the burst, their watch doesn't work, their car doesn't work. Everything gets real quiet. And that's what Steve said. He got real quiet. This is high altitude electromagnetic pulse. Okay? And the Russians first discovered it back in 1960. We discovered it, but the Russians made a treaty real fast, no high altitude testing. So there can be no high altitude testing, okay? You can't test this thing to see if it works. See if it really works. You can test it with electronics or high voltage bursts. They were out of Tinker testing. Tinker Air Force Base way back in the 60s testing. See if they could break down the electronics in an airplane. And we have never had a real test because you can't really do it in a real-time situation because you can't burst anything in the atmosphere or the stratosphere anymore, okay? So we don't know if the shielding will work or not. We hope it'll work, but we can't be sure. It's called a Faraday cage. You can put a thing around it, around your equipment, and ground it, and supposedly it'll protect from these electrons as they speed to Earth and land on your equipment, or your watch, or your computer, or your washing machine. Okay? This is hemp. Takes the Russians about 8 minutes to do it. There's no defense against it. None whatsoever. They can do this with one missile. One or two missiles is all it takes. And this is what they're worried about the North Koreans doing. They're worried about the North Koreans doing this to us. Evidently, there's... We know about the Treaty on Open Skies, where 67 nations can fly planes over our country. I had a report yesterday that the Koreans, North Koreans, fly a plane over our country twice a day. They're a signatory to this treaty. They can fly over our country, and we can't do anything about it because the treaty supersedes the Constitution. George Bush did this thing back in 91, and Clinton let 67 other countries join up for it, that they can fly over our country. Airplanes over our country, surveillance of our country, and we can't do anything about it. Okay, folks, that's the music. Trust that the Lord will bless y'all. And Lou and Elizabeth will be here next week. Just remember, get your King James Bible and pray. Call on Jesus. He's our only hope. And I will see you folks sooner or later, I guess, when Elizabeth has me back on. And you can hear them next week at the same time, same station, the Divided Kingdom. I love you all. And if I don't see you on this side of heaven, if you're born again saved, I'll see you on the other side. Shalom, shalom, and Amish Rakai Tamid. See you next time, folks. Have a great evening.